Tonight, we review the 2017 wannabe supernatural horror flick, Truth or Dare, a movie so terrible they had to make a better version of it in 2018. Join us on Scarcely Scary. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of Scarcely Scary.
Hello, my name is Joshua.
I'm Emily.
And thank you very much for joining us. It means a lot to us for you guys to click on our link.
Yes, thank you guys for clicking.
We wanted to do this podcast because we love scary movies.
Yes, we do.
But the movies that are coming out today are not very scary.
Not at all.
No, we used to watch a lot of classics when we were younger. Mm-hmm. And the majority of them were like the 80s and 90s big hitters.
Yeah,
like,
and they were actually scary.
Even the 70s films were scary. And before mm-hmm. that, they had a lot of creativity and like the story was well made. But in today's day and age, if you go to watch a movie, you're just more often than not, you're laughing at it.
Yes.
So we want to find lesser known horror movies so that we can watch and pick apart and joke about. And mm-hmm. that's what we want this podcast to be.
Yeah, and if we find a horror movie that is actually scary, then we definitely want to share it with you. But we will let you know right now that we are not horror buffs.
No.
We know nothing about the horror culture. All we know is that we like to get scared from time to time while we're watching a scary movie.
Yeah.
What movie scared you as a kid?
Oh, well, when I was a kid, it was The Shining. Not the Stanley Kubrick one, but it was mm-hmm. the Stephen King directed one.
Oh, the miniseries.
Yeah, the 1997 one.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even the full movie that scared me. It was only the part with the woman in the bathtub.
Oh.
That one's
like the zombie-looking woman?
Yeah, like okay. She drowned in the tub or something. Like yeah. She had her wrist cut or something.
And, right.
Little Danny Torrance walked in and pulled the curtains
mm-hmm.
and this woman's just looking at him and talking to him.
Right.
I watched that when I was about 8 and
ooh. Yeah, that's kind of scary.
From that point on, whenever I went into a bathroom with a bathtub, I'd have to throw open the curtains.
Oh yeah.
Just so I could go to the bathroom. Otherwise it would be on my mind.
Uh-huh.
And that lasted for like a good year of my childhood, just terrified of bathroom curtains.
Well, it seems like something like that may have followed you into adulthood as well, because when we had our first apartment together, the curtains would always be open, and anytime I closed them, they just get reopened, so maybe it's like a subconscious thing?
Maybe, but also, if you keep the curtains closed, mildew builds up, so
okay, fair enough, fair enough.
What was your movie that scared you the most when you were a kid?
So when I was like 7 or 8, my stepdad was watching this. It was he was watching the movie Shivers from 1975, and it was like late at night, but I like crept out from my room to watch.
Oh yeah, we've all done that.
Yeah, I think we have. But I just happened to see the scene where the woman, she's like in the bathtub, and like this alien thing crawls out from the drain.
It's kind of like a big worm.
Yeah, it's something gross, and it, like, it crawls up to her, and I guess, like, goes into her vagina or something weird.
Oh, man.
But the water turns, like, bloody, and she's, like, thrashing and screaming, and that's, like, a little 7-year-old, 8-year-old me was absolutely terrified, and it followed me. This did follow me into my adulthood, because I am terrified of drains. Like, I feel like a lot of people are, too. I feel like that's a normal fear.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Like, yeah. Having to reach your hand into a drain, you don't know what's in there, but I don't know if it's, like, monsters so much as you don't know what you're about to touch.
I don't know. But that's interesting. We both have, like, bathroom fears.
True, from scary movies. That's a good point. Maybe it's because we feel vulnerable in the bathroom.
Yeah, it's a vulnerability.
Your parts are out. You're doing your thing. You don't want something to happen to you.
Okay, so moving on, we want to warn you that there are spoilers. You know, we're going to break down the entire movie, so there are spoilers. We like to think that the movies we choose are movies that you wouldn't watch in the first place.
Yeah, I'd say so, because it's not something I'd ever pick on Netflix. We kind of just picked it because, hey, it looks terrible. Let's do it.
Awful. Let's sit here and make fun of it. If it ends up being a movie that we think that you should watch, we're going to try to keep the spoilers at bay, but otherwise, we're going to keep them coming.
If you'd like to not have a movie spoiled for you,
oh yeah,
at the end of each episode, we're going to announce next week's episode. Or if you just want to have an episode spoiled because you don't care,
we're going to tell you at the end of each episode what movie we're watching next time.
Yeah.
So you can be prepared, or you can't be prepared.
Whichever.
Whatever. So with that being said, let's get into this week's movie.
Yep, we're going to get right into it here. Emily, what did we watch this week?
We watched Truth or Dare. There are two versions of this. There's a 2017 version and a 2018 version. Yeah. We watched the 2017 version.
Oh, yeah.
This was actually a Sci-Fi Channel release. It was released in October of 2017. The runtime is 1 hour and 28 minutes. Now, this is a fun fact that I liked. So as of 2019, the film only grossed $3,400.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's $3,400. That's it in the 2 years that it was already out.
That's not very good.
Not at all. So it's directed by Nick Simon. The cast is Cassandra Cerebo. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right. Brittany Sarpy and Mason Dye. And it also has Heather Langenkamp, who happened to be Nancy from...
Nancy Thompson.
From the very first Nightmare on Elm Street. So she has like a little cameo in there. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, she was also in the third Nightmare on Elm Street. I think she was a return visitor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Joshua has some Rotten Tomato reviews for us.
Yeah, I do. I have searched up the reviews. The critics actually never even reviewed this film. There are 5 reviews from critics, but it's not even for the right film.
Oh.
They reviewed the 2018 Truth or Dare, but somehow those reviews made it to the 2017 version.
Huh, okay.
But there were several reviews from audience members who liked or didn't like Truth or Dare 2017. I will read off 3 reviews. Okay, there is a 2-star review from Mark.
Okay.
Mark says, "It passed the time," describes it pretty aptly. "The best moments of Truth or Dare are the unintentional laughs."
Oh, I would agree with that.
Jim gave a 1/2-star review, not even 1 star, 1/2 star. "I dare you to see this movie. You will leave disappointed. It's full of cheap scares, unlikable characters, no plot, and a bad screenplay."
Ooh.
"This type of horror needs to stop."
Oh, what does he mean by that? What does he mean by this type?
Cheap.
Okay.
I don't know.
I can see it.
And then my favorite was from a critic who... I'll just read it. Dustin gave 2.5 stars.
Okay.
"Don't think this was the movie I actually saw."
Wait, what?
Yeah, he reviewed, he left a 2-star review.
Wait, he said 2.5 stars.
2.5 stars for the wrong movie.
But he said that he didn't see it?
Yeah, he said he didn't see it.
Okay.
So if
good on you, was Dustin,
if,
I guess.
All right, here's a little note. If you haven't seen a movie, don't leave a review.
Just go leave reviews on every single movie that you haven't seen, well, saying that you have not saw it. Oh, but give it 2.5 stars or higher. All right, so let's get into the statistics about the movie.
Yeah.
Something that we want to do is talk about how many deaths there are, how many jump scares, because we feel like different things scare different people. So we're gonna talk about some statistics of the movie itself. So we counted 7 deaths in this movie altogether. either by murder, by circumstance, suicide, whatever. If it's a death, it's in there. The only time that a death won't be counted is if we don't see it actually happen.
Yeah, if there's just a body laying there, that doesn't count as a death. Mm-hmm, it's left right. up to the imagination, but
yeah, we don't count that. It. We don't count that as a death. So there's 7 total deaths in this movie, and we'll go over every single one of them. Another one we want to talk about is jump scares.
Yeah.
We define jump scares, or attempted jump scares rather, as a moment in the movie where there's something suspenseful and it's quiet and we're really intense in the film, and then something loud happens or something pops up or whatever. A jump scare. Typical jump scare.
You know what a jump scare is.
Now, unfortunately, we didn't count any jump scares in this movie.
No.
We may have missed some, but we're also pretty resilient to jump scares. So maybe we just missed some, but we counted 0.
There could have been a couple attempted, but...
They weren't obvious, so we didn't count them. And then finally, we talk about the gore-o-meter, whatever. We haven't decided what it's called yet.
The gore-o-meter, possibly. We have a 100-point system where there are 10 categories.
Right, and we go over it at the end of the movie, and we talk about what we think each category is warranted. In total, Joshua and I both decided that this movie, on a scale of 1 to 100, gore-wise, is a 19.5.
Yes, we gave this a 19.5% gore rating, which is a low F.
That is a low F. I mean, there's blood, there's whatever. It's not gory, though, so if you don't like watching gory movies, don't worry. This isn't a gory movie, per se. Okay, so from here, let's go ahead and jump into the breakdown of the movie.
Yeah, let us. Okay, so we're going to begin. It is 1983. Mm-hmm. It is a 3-story home in the middle of a forest. No setting is given, really.
It's like a rural area.
Yeah, we don't know the town. We don't know anything.
Nope, no setting.
And Johnny and Donna are here.
Yeah, they're outside. Johnny's on the roof.
Donna is down below.
They're both dirty and bloody. And
Donna is yelling at Johnny. Mm-hmm. She's saying, like, jump, man, jump.
Yeah, not in an evil way, though. She's not like, just fucking jump. She's kind of more like, do it, please. Like, she's like kind of begging him to jump off the roof.
So he's like stuck up on this roof.
Yeah, he's terrified. He's
terrified. And she's like,
poor Johnny.
You're almost out of time. Mm-hmm. Jump. And then he kind of...
He like slips.
He slips and falls.
He slips off the roof, falls.
Lands on his neck.
Blood everywhere. Donna, what is she? She kind of yelps.
Kind of.
But then she... like turns back and goes right back into the house.
Yeah, she just runs inside. She doesn't go to check if Johnny's okay or
no, she doesn't, right?
Why would you go check if Johnny's okay?
Why would you? Why?
Let me just go back into the house.
He's obviously dead.
So then she runs back in and she looks at this mirror. And the mirror says,
written in lipstick or something.
Yeah, it says, pour acid over your head.
Yeah, and immediately she's like, she kind of reacts like, oh, damn it.
So then she, like, looks into the kitchen, and there's this blue water bucket.
That we assume is filled with acid?
Yeah, we assume it's acid.
Well, my question is how did the acid get there? Was it there the whole time?
No.
Someone pour it? Is there, like, a deep, like, what is, who is pouring the acid, and how did this bucket get there?
I don't know. All I do know is there's a bucket of acid now manifested on top of the counter.
Yeah, somehow. So she kind of makes a smart move and mixes some, what is it? She mixes like cornstarch and water.
Yeah, like cornstarch. Or flour, one of the two.
But she like rubs it all over her face to try to protect herself from.
She makes a goop and then she stands up straight. She picks the bucket up and pours it all over her head. And it runs down her body, and she screams.
Yeah, she pours it... Like, she does it, like, face up, though. She doesn't, like...
Yeah, she, like, pours it on her face.
Yeah. She, like, My thing would be like, okay, put your head down and do it. But she lets it pour all over her face.
Yeah, you'd think if there was like a dare or something in the house telling you to pour it over your head, you'd run to a sink.
Yeah, why would you like put, why would you go face up?
Run to a sink and pour it over the back of your head.
Granted, she was pretty smart about doing like the cornstarch water mixture all over her.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's kind of a good idea. Oh, by the way, this Donna character is played by the Heather Langenkamp we talked about earlier from Nightmare on Elm Street. So that is her cameo. She pops up later in the movie as well. Okay, so then at this point, we kind of jump forward to the present. And we are with these three college kids.
Yeah, they're driving up to their friend Carter's. And they said Carter is going to be having a big Halloween party for them.
Yeah. So they're all, you know, talking in the car about, what, like, they're talking about, like, YouTube and boys and whatever, giving each other shit.
Yeah.
And then, so there's this one, so, okay, so there's one car with three kids in it, and then it transitions to another car with another boy and a girl, but, okay, so Joshua and I watched this movie three times, unfortunately, and on the, it was only at the third time, our final time, that we realized that there were two different cars.
Yeah, I know. They all look so alike.
They all look so alike. They all sound the same. They all have gender-neutral names.
Call us slow if you want.
Please do.
We did not notice that there were two groups of kids driving up to this cabin.
Yeah. Well, the transition didn't help us see that either. It was so smooth that we didn't realize that these were two different stories.
Plus, okay. They're all basic white kids. Like, you can't.
Yeah, they are. They're all very, you know, tall, skinny.
Generally attractive. Typical college movie.
They all sound the same. They all talk about the same stuff. So, after whatever meaningless conversations that are going on in the car, everybody finally gets to this house where we see Carter.
Yeah, and Carter is sitting there out on the front porch. Who knows how long he's been there. He's got his camera out and he's filming.
Yeah.
And he's being kind of a perv.
Yeah, he's being gross. And
he's just like filming this girl in a cat costume and he's like, ooh, meow.
Kitties love the camera or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
He's being really weird.
So then everyone's like, Carter, shut up. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, so we meet everybody. We meet all the kids who are in the house. And like I said earlier, they all have gender-neutral names. All
right, so let's go over the names real quick.
Yeah, so we have Carter. We all know Carter, creepy video douchebag. There's Addie, who just happens to be the kitty.
Addie is the kitty girl. Maddie is a girl.
Okay, so there's Addie and Maddie.
Yes.
And if you want their full names, it's Addison and Madison. It didn't get better. It stayed the same.
Nope. Addie, Maddie.
There's Tyler.
Tyler. He's a pre-med student. Yep. He's a doctor in the works.
Yes. Oh, I didn't write down Alex. Alex is in there, too. Alex is Tyler's girlfriend.
Yes. She's a basic bitch, just like the rest of them.
She's pretty basic. Jessie is in there. She's dating Luke, who is also in there.
Yes. And then there's Holt.
And then there's Holt, who's
He's flamboyant, like chubby boy.
Yeah, chunky. He's like the token fat kid.
He has cargo shorts, a Hawaiian kind of shirt, and a fedora.
It's not a fedora. It's like
a trilby, I guess.
It's some kind of.
It's one of those Bahama hats. I don't know.
Is a trilby a Bahama hat?
A trilby is the one I think that
Indiana
Jones wears, but I'm not certain.
I don't know.
Anyway,
we're not hat experts either.
My favorite part of the scene, though, when they're all walking up to the house is, hi, everybody, I'm Jessie.
Right, because Jessie's introducing herself to this friend group for the first time.
Like, everyone here is a friend except Jessie. But Jessie comes up and she goes, hi, I'm a vegan.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get it out of the way now.
Right.
And that's just.
Oh, they also call her like a stalker.
Oh, yeah. So Carter's like, oh, so you're the stalker.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, I'm also vegan. Might as well get it out of the way now. Yeah, but it's one of those things like, we get it, you're vegan.
We get it, like, you're a vegan, up. And the stalker thing was never brought up later.
It has nothing to do.
In the beginning, it
has nothing to do with the movie.
Nothing to do with anything. But
like a lot of the script. But yeah, her whole vegan thing is like a cryptic foreshadowing.
Yeah, it's just like a shoehorned foreshadow.
Yeah. Holt says, why did you bring us to your grandmother's ghetto-ass house?
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, when you see this house, it's not ghetto.
No, it's a beautiful home.
I don't know. It's in a nice little cute area. It's a cutely done on the outside. It's not ghetto at all.
No, I'd live there.
Like, and then Carter replies with, that's not what your mom said when she brought me here for the first time or whatever.
It's just like bad. A bad attempt at a joke.
Yeah, dumb mama jokes.
Terrible attempt at a joke.
Mm-hmm.
So then they all go inside, and Carter's like, all right, guys. Have you heard of scaryrentals.com?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, no, of course not. Why would we fucking go to scaryrentals.com? We go to Airbnb. We're uptight, basic kids.
Yeah.
So then Carter's like, all right, guys. This is Scary Rental. Let me tell you the story of this house.
Alex and Maddie tell, like, they say, like, oh, this house, I don't know what they say. They say, like, this house is so 2000 and late or something. They don't say that, but it might as well be. And they, like, do a little handshake, and then Carter's like, oh, we're reverting to the second grade, are we? But that pissed me off so much because it's like,
yeah,
didn't you just tell a fucking yo mama joke? Like,
yeah, I know. Your jokes are earlier. Much better. So, like,
like, if we're going to talk about maturity, Carter.
It's like they used a joke to try to force the fact that they've known each other since second grade.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't.
Yeah. By the way, these girls are best friends. So continue. Go ahead, Joshua.
So then Carter's sitting there talking to them about this house, and he's like, you know what, guys? Let me tell you what. There was a game called Truth or Dare.
Nobody's ever heard of it before.
That's the take I get from this damn film. No one's ever heard of Truth or Dare before. And he says Truth or Dare was played in this house back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone who played it died.
Yeah, and then Holt says, wow, the 80s were really tragic, weren't they? And right. They all laugh off
it. And everyone laughs.
Like, what?
How were the 80s tragic?
Because they played Truth or Dare in the 80s?
I guess so.
Guess what you're about to do in like 10 minutes.
I know, right? So,
hence the name of the film.
So then everybody's all like, all right, well, guess what? We brought alcohol.
Woohoo!
So they bust out all these bottles of hard alcohol, they set them down, and then it jumps about an hour ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows the bottles of alcohol again.
Nothing has been drinking out of them.
Nothing's been drinking out of them. Why'd you show the bottles again?
Yeah, there's like one pack of beer in the refrigerator, like a six pack.
Yeah.
Not touched.
No. Wow. No.
There's like vodka and whiskey and gin. And like there's been maybe like one shot taken out of each of them.
Yeah. And they're all acting like we're drunk.
By the way, these kids are like, they're in college. They're like 23-some, maybe not that old, but early 20s.
But he's like, all right, guys, we've had enough to drink. Now let's get into this scary thing, says Carter. So he brings up, all right.
Let's play truth or dare.
And everyone's like, no, I don't want to do it. And then it's like, come on, it's the spirit of Halloween. Let's do this thing.
It's for a girl, and it's like make out with
Maddie, make out with Addie.
So, yeah.
And I'm like, oh my god, I didn't want to be sexual, but
here
okay.
I go. Yeah.
So then, oh my god.
That was weird.
So then it's like, no, we won't do anything sexual. We're not going to play this game if this happens. But you know what?
I'll make out with her.
I'll make out with this girl. Maddie picks up the next card because she's like, all right, this game's fun. It's my turn. She picks up a card and it goes, Maddie, you slept with Tyler. No. I didn't sleep with Tyler.
I would never do that.
I would never do that. I'd never betray my best friend, Alex. Mm. So then
everybody gets a mass text that says, she's lying.
It just, it's like, liar.
She's like, no, I don't know what this is. And everybody's kind of just like looking at her like, well, we all just got that mass text that says that you're lying to us. So what's going on?
Who sent that text? Someone obviously knows you slept with Tyler. Right. So then she's like, fine. I did it. I slept with Tyler.
We got drunk.
I'm sorry, Alex. I know you're my best friend and I slept with your boyfriend.
What the fuck?
But I was drunk. And so was he.
Everybody knows that it's like a horrible, horrible cliche of when your best friend sleeps with your significant other. And everybody's kind of just like,
whatever.
No, that sucks.
Holt's like, does anybody want a shot?
Yeah. He's like, whoa, that was intense. Let's get some shots.
Yeah.
So Alex, Maddie, and Tyler all run off.
Yeah, they're all pissed at each other. They run off and they're like,
they all think it's Carter's fault.
Yeah.
They're all like, Carter, you're pulling some sick, twisted games on us. Why would you put that in the truth or dare? So Tyler pulls another card from the dare pack to be like, what does this one say?
Yeah. So then it's like, what kind of tricks are you playing, Carter? And it says, put your hands on the stove. Tyler's like, I'm not going to fucking put my hand on the hot stove. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and they're like, Carter, why would you do this? And he says, no, I never wrote that. What happened last year was an accident.
Right?
It's like,
what do you mean?
What the hell do you mean? Like, what happened last year?
They never go into it.
Never goes back into it.
So then
frankly, I don't give a fuck.
So then Tyler pulls the next card, trying to just go through these cards, and it says, do the dare, or the dare does you. So then Tyler's like, F this. I'm going to go to the kitchen and think about this. The stove kicks on randomly.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting hot.
It's also an electric stove, not a gas stove. And then the chairs start kind of moving around.
Chairs start moving
around. Like, the house is super haunted. Like there's a, like, it's possessed.
And the chair, like, flies at Tyler. And when it hits him in the shoulder, he happens to trip forward somehow, some way, landing his hand on the one burner that is hot.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts cooking his hand right on the electric coil of the stove.
And he's like, I think he's like screaming, which would be the normal thing to do. And he can't like pull his hand off, like there's something keeping his hand on it. His friends run in. And he's able to pull his hand off.
And I would like to say, when he pulls his hand off, I believe that the production company used all of their money in this scene.
Yeah.
Because when he pulls his hand off the stove, it shows a really nice display, actually, of, like, hand skin stuck to the stove.
Yeah, it's kind of gross.
It's a nice
gory scene. They definitely used a lot of their budget on it.
They used it because the rest of the budget is, like,
oh my god, it's so shitty.
Fake foot, fake blood, fake whatever. Fake
foot.
But this one scene was the expensive scene. I will say that.
Okay, so everybody's kind of like, oh my god, Tyler, what happened? And he's like, I don't know.
Burnt my damn hand.
The dare told me to do it, and I didn't do it, so that must mean you have to do the dare, or you're gonna die.
That's Carter, like, their, says, right?
That's like their first assumption.
Yeah, exactly. As Carter told the story of people dying, so everyone just believes, okay, now we're in this, we're gonna die if we don't do this.
They get another prompt to do a dare, and Jesse, the vegan from earlier, pulls the card.
Yeah. Here comes the shoehorned foreshadow.
Yeah.
I'm a vegan.
What do you guys think it is? Can you guess?
Jesse has to eat Tyler's burnt skin.
Mm.
Eat Tyler's burnt flesh, says the card.
Off of the stovetop. And because she's vegan, she's like, oh my god, I can't do it.
I can't do this.
But my thing is like, that would be horrific for anybody. You don't have to be vegan for that to be a terrible thing to have to do.
It's like the only reason she's vegan is for this scene.
Yeah.
Like, there's no person out there who'd be like, hey there, guys, I'm going to eat this guy's hand because I like steaks.
You sound like Joe Exotic.
Oh, my God. My bad.
Okay, so Jesse takes you know, that light start flickering, and she's like, I'll do it, okay, fine. And she, like, takes a little nibble, and she eats it. She's like, there, I did it. And then the phone starts ringing, but it's not attached. Like, the cable's, like, ripped out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, the phone shouldn't be operating, but it is. And Maddie answers the phone.
And she just stands there, quiet. And she drops the phone.
Yeah, and everybody's looking at her like, what did the phone say? What's going on?
And the phone, whoever's on the phone, probably the ghost, I would assume.
It says, yeah, it's Samara.
Eat. Samara. Eat all the skin. Eat all of it. She only ate one piece off the stovetop, so now she has to eat all of the skin.
Yeah, she's really upset about that.
She's just changing the rules all willy-nilly.
Oh, the ghost?
The ghost, yeah.
Yeah, she is. Eat she's
skin.
Kind of...
Eat all the skin.
Yeah, she's making it very difficult for them.
Mm-hmm.
So the lights start flickering on and off, and they all are kind of like, you have to do it! You know, they're pressuring her, and she ends up just shoving all of it in her mouth.
So then they all try to escape. They're all freaking out.
They start trying to run out of the house.
The windows and break the doors, and they can't get out. So then the piano starts to play. And it tells them they have to keep playing or they will die.
Yeah.
And
The TV turns on. And,
very poltergeisty.
And so we have the white noise TV, and then we have Samara from The Ring telling the time.
Exactly. And now they have to decide who's going to play next.
Right, so they're all arguing about it, and eventually...
Holt just...
He takes one for the team.
Picks up the card, and he reads it, and he has to grab wires.
What wires?
The chandelier behind him smashes to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
There's live wires dangling there.
Yeah, so they make up a plan on how to save him from, you know, dying of electrocution, and what they come up with is... Holt will grab the wires, and then we'll have Carter with a blanket run and tackle him down.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that. Holt grabs the wires. Carter tackles him to the ground.
He only holds the wires for like half a second.
Oh, yeah. It's not that long. Not that, you know, I mean, I'm sure holding any wires for that for any amount of time would be
painful. It's such a small amount of time that it's like more of like a, like it's nothing
crazy.
It's
very, very, very minimal. So Carter tackles him to the ground, and Holt is lying there, and he's, like, foaming at the mouth and convulsing.
Yeah.
Totally just dying, shaking on the ground.
And then he just opens his eyes, and he stands up, and he's fine.
And he's like, ooh, well, there's that one. Done and over with. And he literally just goes about his, like, thing.
Yeah,
they
like, nothing happened.
Playing.
He's not acting like his hands are burnt. There's nothing going on. He's fine.
Nope. Nobody's like, let's call an ambulance.
Yeah, nobody tries to do anything.
Right.
So then
we're on to the next
dare. We're on to the next one, and everyone, there's like a smash, so everyone turns their attention to the noise. And in chalk written on a chalkboard, it says, smash your knee. And it has to be Luke's turn, I guess.
Yeah, well, the ghost like references that it needs to be like the star athlete or something. So everybody just looks at Luke because I guess he's the only one who... Is athletic in the group? I don't know.
But Luke has to get his knee smashed, and then a bat just starts to roll down the stairs. It just manifests
off of the staircase.
And then they have to smash his knee. So he's freaking out about it.
Jesse takes the bat and kind of like taps him on the knee.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, she's like, there, we did it. It's done, right?
It's good to go.
Nope. Lights start flickering again.
Mm-hmm.
So Carter makes the move and...
He grabs the baseball bat, takes it. Full swing.
Takes a big hit to the...
Yeah, just smashes Luke's knee.
As hard as he can.
And...
Luke's reaction is...
Like, not even thinking at all. He just goes, ah! And then sits on the stairs. But I've seen people get their knee smashed in. And
you
I've,
have?
In football, people got their knee
right.
cracked.
Oh, right, okay.
Or just people in videos.
Oh, like watching injury
like
videos?
Too. Yeah, like weightlifting or whatever.
People the weightlifting ones are terrible.
People are screaming when their knees...
Oh my
get
God.
Broken in.
Have you seen the ones where the guys are, or girls, whoever is on the machine where you have to like
it's like a
push.
Leg press,
Yeah, you have to like push the thing up and they...
And their knees buckle the opposite direction.
Oh God, it's horrific.
Oh yeah, those are good. Oh no.
That doesn't happen to Luke.
No, he takes a baseball bat to the knee.
Goes,
and then sits down and he's fine.
He's fine.
Acts like nothing.
And then
happened.
He can like get up and kind of like... walk around too.
Yeah.
Nothing really happens. So then at this point Addie is like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. I don't care. I'm leaving. She tries to leave, and then these pieces of paper start falling from the ceiling.
Yeah, all these index cards fly off the edge of the balcony.
Yeah, and they all say,
Addie is an addict.
Yeah, Addie the addict. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they all confront her. Mm-hmm. She's like, what? No, I am not an addict. I was in an accident, and I was prescribed painkillers. Remember?
Yeah.
And so she's, like, denying her being an addict, and my favorite part of the movie happens.
Yeah, this part's funny.
Addie says, go ahead.
I was going to say, I didn't even catch this. I didn't think about it, but Emily brought it to my attention, and it was hilarious.
Yeah, so she's like, I'm not an addict. Fuck you guys. She starts to walk out of the house, and a door behind them, like, slams shut, and it says, liar. And yeah, they all look at the door.
Carved into the door, yeah.
They all look at the door, and then they all look back at her, and they're like, the fucking door says you're lying, Addie. What the fuck is your problem? Like, nobody's even scared that the house is, like, moving anymore.
Yeah, no one's even afraid of the ghost anymore. Now they're just believing it, and the ghost is just a person in the house now.
And they're just like,
the door says you lied, Addie.
How do you explain that?
How do you explain that?
Well, and it's like, god damn it, this house is, like, holding an intervention right now in the middle of
It seems like the ghost is really worried for Addie's health here. Yeah.
Right. Oh, so yeah, at this point too, everybody kind of determines that the house is, like, trying to uncover their secrets.
And it's telling her, if you lie, you die, and all this
stuff. Yeah, somebody gets a text that says, if you lie, you die. And she just still denies it. She's like, fuck this. She walks out of the house.
Yeah, like, the house is just unlocked now. Yeah,
it just opened up.
They were struggling to get out before. Wouldn't let them out at all. Now it's like, oh, Addie's just going to walk out the front door. She's done with the game. Mm-hmm. No, right when she opens the door, a huge gust of wind blows, and it throws her off the four-stair little porch, and she lands on a metal spike in the grass.
Mm-hmm. Totally impales her. So now that's our, what is that, death number two?
Yes, that is death number two.
That's death number two. Addie dies, and then seemingly out of nowhere, everybody's at the hospital.
Yeah, everyone's now at the hospital. Like, everyone just got out. The house didn't care anymore.
There's no scene of them calling the police. There's no ambulances. There's no getting out of the house. There's nothing. It's just Addie's dead body on the grass. Boom.
They're in the hospital.
Here we are at the hospital.
And it was so sudden that I thought it was a flashback. It took a couple seconds of watching it for me to realize, oh, wait, no. They're just out of the house now. Okay, the house.
Yeah, nothing happened. They're just at the hospital. Yeah, they're, like, trying to tell the police what's going on, but Carter's video footage is corrupted.
Everyone's all bummed out. They're like, well, Addie died. And it's like, well, the cops are saying we were drunk, which we were.
Oh, yeah. Which they weren't.
Which they weren't.
No, there's, like, no alcohol being consumed. And if they were trying to act drunk, they weren't doing a good job at it.
They weren't being drunk at all.
No. But that was one thing. Nobody's really talking about Addie.
Yeah, no one's really even talking
about
her.
Yeah, and when they leave the hospital, one girl says, everybody just go home and get some rest, and let's just move on from this. I'm sorry, your friend just fucking died.
Right in front of you, got thrown onto a spike.
A house ghost murdered your friend, and you're ready to move on?
And the cops aren't questioning you guys either at this point? Nothing's going on?
No. And then they say, they're walking away, and somebody goes, oh, somebody has to tell Addie's parents.
Why?
What the fuck are you saying? Nobody called Addie's parents.
The cops wouldn't call.
A young girl just died on a fucking lawn somewhere.
Yeah, maybe 20
years
old.
And nobody called her fucking parents?
Yeah, that's...
Come on.
That's stupid.
That's ridiculous. That's just... Oh my god. Yeah, okay, moving on.
Another great part is the next day, Maddie and Alex are in their dorm room. Mm-hmm. And Maddie's like, oh my god, Addie just died. And Alex is like, yeah, that is sad, but you know what's worse than that? You and my boyfriend had an affair, and now my heart is broken. Like,
yeah, and Maddie's like, come on, Alex, you're my best friend.
Like, Alex is like,
that makes you even more of a bitch then.
I know. Alex is like, screw Addie. My boyfriend's cheating on me.
Right. So then they get a live stream video? Or?
Yeah, they get, like, a live stream notification.
Something, yeah.
So what's going on in Carter's dorm right now is Carter's looking through his camera and he's like filming his wall, everything looks haunted, and he looks up and everything's normal. So he's looking at his bed, and then his bed starts to bleed through the camera.
And Addie.
And Addie's corpse appears.
Is in his bed, her corpse. She's undead at this point.
Yeah.
And she's like.
She's writing on the wall.
Hang yourself in 2 minutes.
So, like, is the dare just fucking kill yourself? Is that the dare? How is he gonna hang himself and then be okay?
True that.
Like, does he even have to hang by his neck? Like, there's a lot of vague daring.
If he just tied it around his wrist and, like.
Yeah, he could. So a noose, like, drops through the ceiling.
Yeah.
And he's freaking out.
Oh, yeah, he's, like, trying to get out, but his door is locked.
Yeah, so he's kicking at it and screaming. And this whole time, his camera is live streaming him. That's the notification the girls got. Mm-hmm. All his friends come, and they're banging on the outside of his door.
The noose hanging from the ceiling, like, kind of slithers over to him and, like, grabs him by the neck.
Yeah.
Hoists him up. He's hanging there.
And the stream is just showing him doing this. Everyone outside is kicking and screaming at the door while Alex is just watching the phone.
Oh, and by the way, there's like a...
It's like an AC vent.
Not a vent. It's like a... What do you call those? They're in the hotel rooms.
Just a wall, AC wall unit?
Yeah. And it's like on the floor. And he's touching it with his feet.
Yeah, he can stand on it.
Yeah, he could. And he's like literally... his heels are on it.
Yeah, he's kicking it.
And it is taller than where his legs are, so he could totally stand up on it and, you know, support himself. But I don't know, maybe the noose is ghost noose.
Ghost noose is too tight. No. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. So he dies on the noose.
Yeah, the moment he passes out, the door opens and all the kids run in and they see him hanging there. One of the friends, Tyler,
he's a med student.
He should know that after you pass out from being choked out, you have a good 5 minutes of brain activity still. He could have brought him back to life.
He could have done some.
But he just stood there and went, oh, shoot.
Yeah, he just stared at him like, uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Like, that's what you learn in first aid and CPR. Someone's, like, dead or drowned, you still give them CPR because his neck didn't break.
Yeah, so even that's... just in case, even if he's, like, go for a pulse or something.
Yeah, they literally could have helped him. So, whatever.
Yeah, the doctor guy didn't do anything.
The doctor guy didn't do a damn thing.
Alex is on the case, and she's like, I need to figure this out. So she types in the address, she looks it up, and she finds out about Donna, our friend from before who poured acid all over her face back in 1983. So they all decide to go and talk to her, and they get to her house. And if you remember, from the beginning, Carter says, like, she was never seen again, but rumor has it, if you saw her, it would be so disgusting. You would, I don't know, throw up. I don't know what he says, but he basically is like, she's horrific to look at. She's really not. Like, half of her face is burnt.
She kind of looks like half of her face looks like burn victim. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really look like acid poured damage.
She looks, okay, Two-Face from Batman looks scarier than she does.
Yeah, she looks fine.
She looks totally
fine.
She's
moderately beautiful still.
I guess that can be tied into, like, the dumb urban legend myth that comes with it.
So, yeah, they're in her house right now. And she says, the house is not cursed. It's the game that's cursed. It doesn't matter where you played it. The game would get you.
Wait a minute, what?
Yeah, the game is what is going to get you.
Wait, so if you and I sat here right now and played Truth or Dare, according to Donna, we're just... Or does there have to be 7 of us and we all have to be between the ages of like 21 and 25?
I don't know. We have to have a dark past. I think that's all it is.
We have to have a secret.
We have to have a dark secret that makes the ghost want to attack us.
Yeah.
What is the point of this movie? Don't play Truth or Dare. It's bad.
Don't have secrets.
What the moral of the story is?
Don't do bad things. But then the kids cheat
on your friends. Whatever.
Whatever. But the kids who are doing it, their secrets aren't even bad. I mean, cheating cheating with your best friend's boyfriend, that's pretty shitty.
Yeah, that's shitty. But then addiction? That's not her fault. Opioids are running rampant.
Yeah, it's an epidemic.
It's an epidemic. It's not her fault that she's addicted to
them. Yeah, and fuck this house for pulling out an intervention on her ass.
Right?
the fuck is up with that? Fucked up
interventions, man.
And then Carter died. Oh, his secret was, I'm in love with Addie, which, what the fuck? That's not a dark secret.
Yeah, that's not a dark secret. No one else has a dark secret. It's the cheating and the drugs. Those are the only two, like, truths.
Oh, well, also Holt later. Okay, anyway, back to the story.
Holt.
We'll talk about it.
I don't remember Holt's secret.
I will bring it up then when we get there. Oh, so they're talking to Donna, and she says, you have to finish the game. There's 3 rounds. And then Maddie asks her something so fucking stupid. She goes, so you know what you're talking about. Yeah, I fucking think I do know what I'm talking about.
I lived through it.
Half my face is burnt, and I'm telling you right now, like, yes, I know what the fuck I'm talking about.
So this game will follow you, A. B, the game is cursed, not the house. C, Donna says, you have to go back to the house to finish the game.
But if it has nothing to do with the house, why do you have to go back to the house?
Because Donna wants them to suffer, I guess. I don't know, just like she did. I would assume so. Why can't they just finish the game in known territory? Why do they have to go back to this house?
Yeah, if it's going to follow them around, they might as well just do it in the comfort of their own dorms.
Exactly. Just stay as a team where you're most comfortable.
So meanwhile, while this is happening, we have Luke and Jesse hanging out in the dorm. Card appears.
He's flipping through a magazine.
Oh yeah, he's flipping through this magazine and the card comes out of the magazine. And it says, rob a gas station. And Luke is like, let's fucking go. We gotta go now, Jesse.
It's a dare. We gotta go.
And Jesse's like, what the fuck are you talking about? So then they look back at the bed and the sheets are manifesting a pistol.
Yeah.
Then it like...
And then the blankets roll into the shape of a 9. I don't know what...
Yeah, they do.
I don't know the significance of that.
Maybe it's like you have 9 minutes.
That could very well be it. Maybe you're onto something there.
But there's nothing... What if it's like 9 days? You have 9 days
you have nine to rob a gas station. Yeah, it's very big. 9.
Just 9. 9 months? Seconds? 9 years?
Who knows?
9 decades?
So.
Okay. So they go, they get in his car. It's like a Bronco. I think he drives a Bronco.
Yeah, it's like a Bronco.
Not that that matters. All right. So they go to the gas station. Luke goes up to the convenience store woman and is like, please, give me some money. I need anything. I don't care. Give me a dollar.
Give me a quarter.
She's like, I don't know what you're on about, boy. And he pulls the gun on her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, please, I don't have a lot of time. And
I just need something.
Jesse gets out of the Bronco and is like,
she goes and
standing there with her arms crossed, looking at him like,
what are you doing?
I'm so disappointed in you right now, young man. I know,
she's like staring at him from outside the door.
So while he's looking at Jesse and he's begging this convenience store woman to give him the money, she pulls out a shotgun and blows him away.
Yeah, she just blasts him in the chest.
And then Jesse jumps right the fuck back into the Bronco and takes off.
Yeah, she takes the fuck
off. She's not like, oh no, my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. She doesn't run in. She's not like, what did you do?
She doesn't call the cops. She just ditches him.
Jumps right into the Bronco, peels out, takes off. So she calls Alex. Alex and the gang are on their way back from Donna's house.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, Luke is dead, blah, blah, blah. Alex says, I know, we have to go back to the house. Meet me at the house. So
then they all go back to the house.
Mm-hmm. No questions asked.
And they're all just there. And then they're like, okay, we're going to play this game, Ghost. So then the TV kicks back on. Static again.
Yep, Poltergeist is back.
Poltergeist is back.
And the TV says, or no, it like there's like writing on the TV. And it says, drink the liquid.
It's very vague about what liquid.
Yeah, they're like, what liquid? And they look into the kitchen.
And there's
like,
just a solo cup.
There's like a glass that's filling.
Is it with a glass? A
green, yeah, it's like a vase that fills with a green.
Yeah.
And Tyler runs over to it and he smells it and he's like, it's poison.
It's poison, guys.
Okay.
Yeah, how do you know?
Yeah, what poison? How can you smell? I'm not a doctor, so maybe doctors are able to smell poison. I wouldn't maybe. Know.
He knows to smell poison, but he doesn't know that his friend can still be resuscitated.
Oh, that's true.
So, like...
How do you fuck up that bad?
How do you fuck that up, dude?
So then they're like, let's share the dare.
So then the solo cup thing comes into play. So he pours poison into the solo cups.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gives everybody a soda out of the ice chest they had there from the night before.
Which is completely, by this point, no ice. It's just sodas
floating in
some water.
He says, if you drink the soda, the acid won't hurt your stomach. And then you could just throw up the acid after you drink it.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe. Who knows?
I feel like, as somebody who doesn't know anything about that stuff, I'm like, that's pretty solid.
I would not trust it. I'd say, fuck you. You can die. No, but, so they all start vomiting up the soda poison mixture, and yes. Emily starts freaking out.
Oh, God, it's gross.
She hates throwing up.
I hate watching people, listening to people, just imagining doing it myself. I just hate it.
She didn't watch Jackass.
I didn't. So, I wasn't allowed.
Yeah. So Jackass was great for getting that out of the way.
Desensitizing yourself to human...
human waste.
Bile and waste. Yeah, I'm sure it was.
Yep.
Okay, so they puke it up, and then Maddie walks to the kitchen, and the car's on the table.
Yeah, they say, pull out two teeth.
Pull out two teeth.
Jesse, can you help me? I need to pull out one of your teeth. Maybe someone needs to help me do this. And Jesse's like, I'm not even supposed to be here. I need to be with Luke.
Yeah, yeah. You left him.
You fucking ditched him.
You could have been with Luke.
You could have stayed, but no. Her excuse is, I should be with Luke. God, what a terrible person.
Yeah, she's kind of shitty.
So then Tyler's like, I'll just do it. And
I'm the med student.
I'm the med student. I'll have my tooth ripped out. That's fine. But I'm going to rip out your tooth, Maddie.
So Tyler takes some pliers and digs right into Maddie's mouth, right to... like her molars.
He goes to a molar.
Yeah, and he's like twisting, and it's like very excruciating, and the whole time Maddie's like, ow!
Ow, this hurts. Ow!
Ow! Ow!
And then he rips it out, and she just goes, ow, that hurt. Like, getting your...
ow! And there's no blood.
There's no blood. There's nothing.
I don't know about you, but if I was getting my teeth pulled like that with a pair of rusty pliers, I would probably be, especially a molar, like screaming...
yeah, you'd be screaming.
Bloody murder.
In pain.
And then after it was ripped out, I would be like in shock.
Crying in shock. Yeah, that hurts. There's so many nerve endings. Like, they put you under when you get teeth removed for a reason.
Yeah. And she's just like standing there, like holding her cheek, like, owie.
So Tyler's like, all right, Holt, you pull my tooth out.
Yeah, he volunteers Holt to do it for him.
Uh-huh.
He's like, all right, just grab, twist, and pull. That's all you have to do.
And then Holt kind of pusses out. He tries. But he just doesn't have the strength to do it. And he's just like, I can't do it. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So then Tyler takes the pliers and grips and rips his own tooth out. And when he does that, it's like a syrup stream of blood just kind of dribbles on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Bad effects. It doesn't look good.
Yeah. Like, I would say this part is just kind of cringy to watch just because, like, you get the feeling. You kind of empathize. And your mouth kind of starts to hurt. You're like, ah, that would... fucking hurt, but the actors don't sell it at all.
No, the actors aren't acting.
They're not acting. Okay, so then the house is happy and is like, yes, you pulled out your teeth.
Good job. Good
now, job. Now we do the Russian roulette.
Now you're gonna kill your fucking selves.
So the house again manifests a gun.
Yep, a revolver with one bullet. They load the bullet into the gun. So then Alex goes, and she's sitting there with the gun, freaking out. And she, Tyler's looking at her, like, come on, do it. Like, hurry up. Let's go. Come on.
She kind of is like, okay.
But then she pulls the trigger and
nothing.
Click. Nothing happens.
Well, she does it twice and she's about to do it a third time, but Maddie takes the gun from her and starts putting it to her head.
Yeah. And Tyler's like, no, I'm going to do it. So he takes it. He saves Maddie. He doesn't care about his girlfriend, Alex, who's doing
so
it.
So fucked up.
He saves Maddie, the girl he had an affair with, grabs the gun, puts it to his head, pulls the trigger. Bam! Oatmeal sprays onto the window.
Straight up.
It looks like watery oatmeal with red dye in it. Like,
yeah.
It's
horrible effects.
Bad. Tyler's gone. Which death is that? Death five?
Four?
Joyce?
Joyce? Why are you at Joyce's house? Just friends. Anyway. Yeah, I think that's number four. Yes, four. We'll stick with four. So then Alex screams and she's like, no, my boyfriend. She's very upset. Everybody's very upset for about 45 seconds and then they move on. Like they do with everybody's death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just get over it. Whatever, doesn't matter. So now it's Holt's turn again.
This part is so boring. We watched this movie 3 times and every single time I could not watch this scene just because I was so uninterested.
Holt's next dare is he needs to get run over.
Yeah.
By a car.
You guys don't understand. I was involved in a hit and run last year. And they're like, oh, okay. Well, we're not going to run you over with a car. And he's like, no, I have to do it.
He sets it up for himself. Like, no, hit me with a car. So then, yeah, I guess that's the secret that he was holding on to that came out.
That's what I was going to say, is that that was his big secret. That's his big sinner.
That's what I forgot.
Is that he was hit by, he was involved in a hit and run.
He said involved. He didn't say his involvement. So then he's like, come on, just like roll it over me. You don't have to hit me going fast. Just roll it over me. I'll just go sit out there. And Jesse gets in the Bronco. And she starts trying to turn the motor. And the motor won't
turn. Oh, that's right. It's not starting.
It's not starting. So it's like the ghost did this on purpose. The ghost stalled the car so that he can't get run over in time.
Okay.
So then that's what I'm assuming happened, because the cars seem to always be in good working order. So then he lifts the hood latch to try to see what's wrong with the car. Like, you're going to fix it.
I know.
1 minute to get run
over.
I'm
like, ah, shit, I forgot my tools at home, but I think I can probably just finagle it with my hands real quick.
So then time runs out for him, and the hood drops and locks his sleeve into the engine bay. Mm-hmm. So he's like trapped by his sleeve, I guess. So then, no, I'm not going to get out of my jacket. I'm going to stay in my jacket.
He just stays in his jacket.
And then the engine turns on and he's freaking out. He's like, stop doing this, Jesse. Where are you driving? She's like, I'm not doing it. It's the ghost.
Oh, the ghost is driving the Bronco.
The ghost is driving the
Bronco. House
ghost, take the wheel. Which it does. So it slams into reverse.
Knocks him down.
Knocks him down and then drives forward really fast and just goes dun dun right over him. The good double bump. You know, he's dead, I guess. Death number 5. Finally. Yeah, okay.
The most totally uninteresting part of this entire movie was that scene. I was so bored.
Whole movie was equally as boring.
If I had to pick a scene, though, for me personally, it would be this scene. We did watch it 3 times.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what happened, like, that whole scene, except for him getting hit by a car and saying he was involved in the accident.
It's a life-or-death situation. You just have to pull out of your jacket.
Yeah, or, like, his whatever button-up long sleeve. I don't even know what he's wearing.
So,
he had that stupid fucking hat on the whole time. They all go in the house, and they're all, you know, this is so fucked up. And then they move on. Yet again.
Whatever, Holt's dead. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, and Alex determines it's punishing us because we're sinners. Solid.
Yeah, good reason.
Solid writing. So then Jesse gets a card that says, chain yourself to the pipe.
Yeah, all she has to do is go. Like, the basement door opens. There's a pipe with a chain. Mm-hmm. She has to chain herself to the pipe. Doesn't say do anything violent to yourself. Doesn't say harm yourself, harm others. It's not play Russian roulette. It's not pour acid on your head.
It's not pull a fucking tooth out of your head.
It's nothing violent. Chain yourself to the pipe. She starts to head downstairs, and 4 cockroaches run off of the chains. Emily, you hate cockroaches.
I fucking hate cockroaches. We have water roaches where we live, and every time I see them, I just want to fucking throw up everywhere. They're so disgusting. So I'm kind of with her on this one. Like, fuck, I don't want to touch them. But, you know, if it's a life or death situation and all I have to do is chain myself to the pipe, there can be... Well, we'll get into it. But there can be a whole army of cockroaches down there.
So for
I might not do it.
So for a solid 2 minutes, she's sitting there. No, I'm not going to do it. It's gross.
Right. The basement door, like, closes and she can't get out. And she's like, help me, banging on the door.
Yeah. And
So she gets down there, and she's out of time because she spent her 2 minutes crying on the stairs.
Over a few cockroaches.
And now the army of cockroaches comes out from the depths. The house has called upon its cockroach soldiers.
Go, militia. Go.
Go, you foul steeds. And they kind of swarm her. And
they swarm her and just, like, start devouring her.
So gross. And they, like, get her mouth. Mm-hmm. This part... This part went into my gore numbers, because it was, I mean, the cockroaches looked like shit. The FX wasn't good, but like, just the thought of it is.
You're squeamish.
I am squeamish.
I totally forgot about that.
And I hate fucking cockroaches. They're disgusting.
Yeah. So.
I don't fuck cockroaches.
That can be taken two ways. You are correct.
I'll just cut that out. Okay, so then... So then, again, right when she dies...
They're like, well, she's dead. Moving on.
And the door opens up, and, yeah, the basement door opens, and they...
They're just like, eh. Oh, well.
What was her sin? Her sin was that she hates cockroaches.
No, her sin was being a vegan. Ooh. No, I'm joking to you vegans out there.
To all you sexy vegans out there. Just a joke.
Literally, that's like the most controversial thing she's done in the whole film.
Except for hating cockroaches.
She was an innocent bystander in this whole thing.
She was. She wasn't supposed to be there.
She wasn't. So.
So then Samara comes back and is like, all right, fuckers, let's get some limbs chopping off of you girls. By the way, let me just... kind of stop this right here. The ghost's name isn't actually Samara.
Yeah.
If you don't know, I'm referencing The Ring. The girl from The Ring who crawls out of the TV, her name is Samara. And she's the one who's like, she does that. And that's how the ghost in this movie sounds, so I'm calling her Samara. Sorry. I just wanted to make a quick side note.
Okay, that's fair. So.
Okay.
So then, now they have to chop off 7 moving body parts. So their first thoughts are, let's just do some hair. That moves.
Yeah, pull out your eyelashes.
And then the house starts freaking out and it's like, no.
I want real live limbs. Which, by the way, all you said was that you needed 7 body parts. You did not say that they had to be moving or living or whatever.
Exactly. The ghost is just a
change in the rules.
It's like a bratty little kid. The ghost is like, do this. No, that's not what I meant. I mean, do this. Their life is in the hand of a toddler ghost.
Oh, maybe that's what the ghost is.
Maybe, but then if it's a toddler ghost, would it have the mentality to...
Yeah, and why would it care so much about sinners?
That's what I'm saying. It's just a little bitch of a ghost.
Bitch ghost.
Bitch ghost. So, the house isn't happy, so then it's like...
Alex volunteers Maddie to take off an entire fucking fingernail.
Yeah, with like those rip off flyers. A fingernail.
Blah! Yeah, another squeamish thing.
Yeah, so then she rips off her fingernail.
More half-baked screaming.
Yeah.
Ouch.
And then Alex is like, here, cut my elbow skin. Cut my weenus off. Mm-hmm. So then they use a knife and saw through her weenus.
Gross.
And then they're like, okay, do my earlobe.
Alex is the only one, too, who's like actually acting like she's totally in pain.
Well, what else do we do? What do we cut off? And she's like, cut off my pinky. And she's like, I don't want to lose my pinky. Okay, well, we'll just put it on ice, and then when we're done, we can take it to the hospital, and they'll put them back on. All right, let's just do this.
So where do they put the pinky?
Remember the ice chest that they had last night with floating sodas in it?
Totally.
Just now like, it's just water.
Just water.
Sodas.
Yeah, like warm, lukewarm water.
So she cuts off her pinky, and they chuck it into the water. Yeah, that's putting it on ice, guys. Good job.
Good,
you did it.
Good fucking job, guys.
Oh my god.
They do it again on the pinky toe.
They do it again. Alex gets her pinky toe cut off.
right into the water. So then, okay, this part's great because we go from eyelash to fingernail to elbow skin to earlobe, and then we're cutting off phalanges, and then out of nowhere, like total jump to the moon. Maddie's like, cut off my foot.
Cut off my damn foot.
No, which, I can't do it.
I see her logic because she's like, we still need to cut off like 3 moving parts. I can get them all done if I cut my foot off because it has 5 toes.
Okay.
I don't know. Why not just another finger? Why
I does feel it like have to the be your ghost would be like, ah, ah, ah.
Yeah, donkey. In the end, when she cuts off, like, she cuts off the foot.
Yeah, she has like a butcher knife. Alex has a butcher knife and starts chopping it, but she's like doing like these little.
She has those.
Like she's chopping an onion.
But she has a. She's holding the knife with two hands. Have you ever tried to do a two-hand chop with like a little chef knife?
And I can understand if you're gonna like go above your head and like come down over your head like bam like that, but she doesn't. She like holds it to her chest, two hands, and like just little chops.
You'd have
little tight chops.
You'd have stronger swings with one hand than two.
True, and then you could come behind and whack it like that.
But no, there's no logic in this film.
No, not at all.
It's just bad. So bad gore.
So her foot falls.
Maddie passes out.
Oh, on the first hit. Yeah,
on the first chop.
By the way, you also don't see like the knife cutting into the skin. You just watch Alex's face, like a close-up of her like crying and doing it.
Yeah, so they don't really show any gore there.
No. And no then, blood splatter really either.
Yeah, but it's just cheap. I think they ran out of money at this point.
Yeah, like we said earlier, they spent all their money on
Tyler pulling his hand off the stove.
Yeah, they spent all their money on the stove skin one. Anyway.
So then they leave the house. I think Alex carried Maddie to the car.
Yeah, we don't see that. They're just in the car.
They're just in the car now. And they're driving.
Maddie's crying.
And on the dash.
On the radio. Yeah, on the radio screen.
I'm like, yeah, the computer screen in modern cars now.
These cars these days are their modern television screens.
I know. These dang modern hoonans. So.
Hoonans.
So then it says, kill Maddie.
Yeah, and Alex drives the SUV, like...
full speed.
Into a tree.
Yeah, let's kill both of us instead of one. Instead of having one survivor, let's both die.
Lights go out, screen is black, and then we just hear...
one gasp. You don't know who's alive. Credits roll.
Credits roll.
Done. Movie's over. That was garbage. So...
yeah, it makes me want to see how much better they did with the 2018 version.
Yeah.
Well... we watched the trailer for the 2018 version of Truth or Dare.
Yeah.
And it literally is the same exact movie, just made for theaters.
Yeah, better high quality looks like might be a little more interesting.
It looks like it might be a little more suspenseful and a little more scary. Maybe we should have watched that one, but...
no, this one was worse.
This one was so terrible. And even though it was a TV movie, a lot... you know, TV movies are usually shitty.
Mm-hmm.
This was still a lot of fun to make fun of. Okay, so Joshua, what would you rate this film? Like, give it a grade, like a letter grade.
A letter grade?
Based on scariness. Like, okay. How scary was it?
It wasn't scary at all. They didn't meet any, like, gory expectations or no jump scares.
There's no jump scares. And then no, like we didn't see any ghosts or... They also didn't explain the whole ghost house thing. They didn't explain why this... ghost wants to terrorize college kids who have mediocre secrets.
Yeah.
The
and a lot of people play Truth or Dare. Why isn't it killing more people?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we'll have to watch the 2018 version to find out.
I'd rather not. So on a scale, if I was to give it a grade scale, I'd give it an F right off the bat. Probably a 24%.
That's a low F.
I kind of agree with the Rotten Tomato audience, because they gave it a 23%. So I'm
good. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and give it that grade. What would you give it?
I think that I would also give it an F, but I think I would give it like a higher F. I think I'd probably do like a 55%. Scary-wise.
Scary.
Just because...
you're just squeamish.
I'm squeamish. I didn't like the cockroaches part was disgusting. The watching them pull out each other's teeth was hard for me to watch. Them throwing up, I like started gagging. So I just have a very weak stomach when it comes to that stuff. But no, it didn't necessarily scare me. I was just like cringing.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I guess, you know, I'm not going to give it a percentage. I'm just going to say it's an F.
Just a solid F.
Just an F. I was deciding if I wanted to do F plus or not. Just an F.
Yeah.
For scariness.
F is for scary.
So, F is for fright.
I gave them a 24% based on effort. They gave an effort. It's a compilation prize.
And you were gonna give them an F for it.
Get it? F for what?
Effort. What did you say?
Effort. Effort. Oh, okay.
Sorry, that was really bad.
Yeah, you're lame. I'm sorry. All right. So.
Would you, wait, okay, so for our audience, should they watch this movie?
No.
I would say if you want a good laugh, or if you want to just, like, turn something on to
if you wanna scare, bitch about. If you want to scare your 11-year-old kids, this is a good one because it's not too scary. But if you want to watch it and be scared.
Your 11-year-old kids, that's very specific.
Specific, yes. Only 11-year-olds. I don't know, like preteens. I think tweens, preteens. Like, it's like a isn't sleepover. Isn't a tween
like a 9?
Like I thought it was from like 10 to 12. It was a tween.
9? No, I thought it was like 9 to 12.
Whatever. Same thing.
Why are we talking about tweens?
I don't know. God, so, okay. Yeah, but it's a good movie to put on during like a scary slumber party.
And I feel like if you're gonna put like a scary slumber party movie on, pick the 2018 version. It's probably so much better.
But we haven't watched it, so I couldn't tell you what to do.
I'm just going to tell you right now. Don't watch this movie. Don't even try. All right. Okay, so this is the end of it. This is the end of our first episode.
Yeah, thank you very much for listening.
Yeah, it's bittersweet. So do you want to let them know what we're watching next week?
Yeah, next week on Scarcely Scary Episode 2, we will be reviewing the 2016 film Friend Request.
That sounds horrible.
Yes, it does.
So, that's like a Facebook movie.
I believe. It's just a social media scary movie. Watch out. Ugh, don't share that chain letter. Watch out, everybody.
Yeah. So, so if you want to watch that before we do our podcast next week, go for it.
Yeah, if you want to follow along and be a part of the fun and know the jokes we're about to tell, go ahead. If you don't care that the movie's spoiled for you,
don't watch it.
Don't watch it because it's probably a terrible movie anyway, and it's probably not worth your time.
That's true.
So just let us tear into it, and you can listen and enjoy.
All right. So with that being said, we will see you guys next week.
And remember, don't trust your house to hold an intervention for your friends.
Don't do it. Okay. All right. Goodbye.
Bye.